The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome to another edition in another week here in the Computer Corner. We are the Data Doctors. You've got a duo of doctors today. To my right, Mr. Robert De Arezio.
I am back in the house.
Back in the house after doing your time, as it were, in Albuquerque.
You know what? I'm not missing the weather here at all. It was so cool out there.
Yeah, it was much better temperature. So it's Robert and I today here to help talk about technology, talk about computers, hook you up with knowledge, skills, whatever it is we can do for you. We're here for the next 2 hours to try to do it. And we've got lots of ways for you to participate in the show. First, foremost, the most popular method, I would guess, at least the most popular that we can tell. It's the old phone line. It's 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR if, for some reason, you like the letters. Although, I don't like the letters because then you have to look at the phone and figure out what the letters translate to for numbers. So, 277-5827. That's how it translates. That's how it works. It's very simple. That's the number you can dial. Of course, if you're shy or not able to dial or the lines are busy or whatever, you can also join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. datadoctors.com/radio. There you'll see the topic we're going to talk about. You'll see some of the resources, this week's links, and this week is a little link crazy, and we'll talk about why in a second. You'll see ways you can get involved with the show and join us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, ask questions, all kinds of stuff there. So all those things there are sort of laid out for you. Again, datadoctors.com/radio. And if you're going to ask questions and you're not going to do it via phone, the preferred method is through our Facebook fan page. And the reason, well, there's a couple reasons. One, and most importantly, is if you have questions you're going to ask, I bet somebody else has the same question. And so if you don't call in and ask it, the only way that somebody else can share in the knowledge that we'll give you, because we do answer all the questions that you post there, the only way people can share in that knowledge is if we do it in a place where everybody can see. Now, obviously, if you've got some kind of question that would otherwise not be something you'd want to broadcast, then feel free to use one of the other methods. But for the most part, most of your questions are going to be questions that others could benefit from the answer of. And for that reason, and that reason alone, the Facebook fan page is the place for that. If you want to skip our site and go straight there, facebook.com/datadoctors. We made it easy for you. And if you become a fan there, the biggest thing you're going to get out of it is during the week, as things happen, things in technology, things that impact you, security risks or new discoveries or some of the new concerns about privacy and pictures. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll talk about that as the show goes. We alert you to those kinds of things as they happen there. Yeah, sure, I know a lot of you get our newsletter, and that comes to you very timely on Friday afternoon, just as you're finishing your work week, when maybe you have nothing better to do than read it, or maybe it just sits in your inbox until Monday when you finally pick it up then. But a lot of things happen during the week long before that Friday, and those things get accumulated and put into that letter, that newsletter, but sometimes those are things you want to stay on top of. And so through the fan page, you can do that. Of course, if you have questions about technology, need some help figuring out what this error message is or how to solve it, it doesn't have to just be about computers. It can be about smartphones, about whatever it is, technology related. We take those things on the fan page. We answer them, and we've got, maybe a dozen or so folks involved in doing that, so we can generally get you an answer pretty quickly. And if it's not quickly, at least it does get answered within a day or so. So anyway, that's a quick rundown on how you can get involved if you're interested. Again, 602-277-5827 is the number. The topic of the show, the thing we're going to kind of focus in and around as the show progresses, besides your calls, the top 100 undiscovered websites. I don't know if we're going to talk about all 100 of them that we have listed.
Come on, we got 2 hours.
2 hours, 100 sites?
We'll just start going off real quick. We'll read them off really fast.
We'll talk about some of the highlights, and of course, we'll both chime in with our own favorites. And if you've got a couple of favorites, too, and please don't call in to do a commercial for some site that you're a part of, that you run, that you own, that you built, that you made. That's not what we're looking for, but we are looking for things that you find useful, things out there, or things that are just a little bit wacky. If you listen to the radio station here, you probably hear during the week Miss Gail Bass as the Click Chick, and she always brings interesting, sort of undiscovered websites to her little, it's not really a show, like a segment, right? Is it a segment, Pete, what she does, the Click Chick? It's a piece. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, she brings undiscovered, interesting things, and so it's maybe that kind of stuff. It could be weird stuff. It could be cool stuff. It could be useful stuff. It could be worthless stuff. Some people would argue the entire internet is mostly made up of useless stuff, which, they're probably more useless than there is useful.
So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say YouTube was useless until I got them to use it. And then they go, wow.
Yeah, you can use, I mean, in general, the internet as a tool for research. I'm amazed at, I have a couple of friends who have kids that are like in high school or just out of high school, who if you didn't give them Google and the internet, they wouldn't know how to write a paper, because they still have to write papers, not by hand, right? They type them, but they wouldn't know how to, you remember the old days we had to learn how to cite a reference of a book? You had to go to the library, check out a book, and, yep, and do a report on the book. And I don't know why it was so important, but in high school, it was important that we figured out how to cite, quote unquote, a reference, right? By doing all those crazy things you had to do at the bottom with footnotes and the what do they call it? The bibliography. And yeah, I mean, all this stuff. Why were we learning that? Unless we were going to be journalists working in newspapers, which, by the way, that's not a good job anymore. Last I checked, but unless you're going to do that, why did we have to learn how to cite things? But for some reason, we had to learn how to do that. Well, today, you take somebody that's in school right now and try to get them to cite a book. Remember, we had to learn for magazines, it was one way, and for books, it was another way, and for periodicals, which I thought are magazines too, there was like 10 different ways to do things, right? Well, now there's only one, because everything's, well, like Wikipedia. That's your reference. That's your source, or some website somewhere, or whatever it is. So we're going to talk about undiscovered things. Not the obvious things. Some of the things maybe that we use in our daily lives. I've been lately doing a lot of traveling. There's some really cool sites out there that help you sort of get that together. We can talk about some of that stuff. We can talk about your favorites, whatever it is. 602-277-5827. Of course, if you call, your question doesn't have to be about that, about undiscovered websites. It doesn't have to be your favorites. It can be whatever's frustrating you, whatever's causing you joy, pain, whatever it is. We'll take them all. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, it's the undiscovered websites that are joys in Robert's life, in my life, in your life, and your calls. Stick around. We're talking about the top 100, or 99, or 50, or 20, or whatever. We're talking about websites that you may not know about that may help you in your everyday life, or in your every once in a while life. How about this one? Hard to find 800 numbers, which is sort of poorly named because half the numbers there are not 800 numbers. They're 866, 877, or even like some long distance area code, which doesn't mean anything anymore since everybody has free long distance on almost everything everywhere. But anyway, imagine you're trying to get a hold of some company and you're having a hard time talking to a real person. You go to the link we have posted, datadoctors.com/radio. Hard to find 800 numbers. You go there, find the company you're looking for by clicking on the letter of the alphabet that the company starts with, like AOL, for example. You click on A, and it'll give you tips not only on what number to dial, but just keep pressing zero until you talk to a live human, I think is the exact advice.
That's pretty much what it says. It's funny.
Pretty funny stuff. So that's just one of the ideas. There's another one there, Extra Tasty. It's a social network for consumers of adult beverages.
This one's for you, Kevin.
You think he's listening? Come on.
No, probably not.
We've got lots of other ones we'll talk about sort of as the show goes. How about you? Any kind of obscure or things that are maybe people don't know about that you've found that are kind of awesome?
Well, come on. Everything's going to be pretty much cars and gaming with me, but for gaming reasons, I go to IGN.com, but that's pretty much well-known, I think, for most of the community.
Okay, IGN?
IGN, like in Nancy.com.
Uh-huh. What's IGN?
IGN's a gaming website. Pretty much all different game consoles, reviews, previews, video interviews, all kinds of stuff. Just games, movies, TV shows, anything entertainment. It's pretty cool.
So if you're into entertainment, gaming, all that,
They do TV show reviews, movie reviews. It's pretty cool.
Huh. All right.
Hot Babe of the Month reviews.
Hot Babe of the Month reviews. Now that is what everybody's looking for, I'm sure. What do you think, Pete? Big score? Yeah. Why do I hear noise in the back? Oh, that's the headphones? Really? Do you hear that on the air? You think they hear that? A little tiny bit? Ah, well. I mean, it's not like we run a quality production around here, so not your fault, our fault. Anyway, should we jump on the phones, talk to some people? We'll talk more about some undiscovered websites and kind of weave that in and out of the show as we go.
Yeah, let's take care of some people.
All right, first up on the computer corner, it is Paul. Paul, welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Fantastic, sir. Any ideas on cool sites that maybe people don't know about, a little bit more obscure stuff?
You know, I don't know if it's obscure or not, but one of my favorite sites is FARC.com, F-A-R-K. And it's a listing of news stories with funny takes and boards and stuff on it. It's pretty amusing.
News stories with a funny take, kind of like maybe like The Onion?
Well, there are links to actual news stories, but the headlines written by the users are funny or ironic, and perhaps more than the news stories themselves, the comments are very entertaining that the users
gotcha.
Leave behind.
So it's a user contribution kind of thing, but the user writes the headline that then links off to the real story.
Correct.
Gotcha. So I'm sure you called for a reason other than to tell us about FARC. What can we help you with, sir?
Yeah, I did. The kid's computer is infected with this security suite that's going around. And I understand what the fixes are. However, this thing has locked me out of all my executables.
Yeah, some of the newer ones, in particular the one that'll call itself the Antivir security suite, they stop you from trying to be able to remove this junk. And part of how they do that is they lock down things like your control panel and most like executable programs so that you can't run antivirus and those kinds of things on them. And so the only way you're going to be able to clean up that kind of stuff is to take the drive, the hard drive, out of the machine, remove it, and put it on another machine that's in good shape.
Use it as a slave.
Yeah, you have to set it up as a secondary drive on another machine that's functional, not infected, and then do your scans and things from there.
Oh, okay, great. Well, how about this? An idea I came up with, but I'm not quite sure of the possible ramifications. That computer is networked in with my computer. If I were to take the executable file for Malwarebytes and put it on the quote-unquote network server, do you think I'd be able to run it from there and put a fresh install on the infected machine?
Fresh install of what?
The problem is Malwarebytes doesn't really take it. That used to be something they used quite a bit for a couple of years. I find myself just using that more as a cleanup tool. It doesn't really get those rogue program infections. Pretty much you're going to have to go in there and delete those executable files by slaving the hard drive. Because those infections are actual programs are really, really hard to remove with just a scan, especially with just Malwarebytes.
And for people listening that are saying slave a hard drive, what does all this mean? It's getting more and more difficult to remove this kind of stuff. It's not something that once you're infected as badly as these things now infect, you're really, unless you got some technical skills, you're going to have to either make a choice to put it back to the way it was or to the factory reinstall, which loses settings and data and all that kind of stuff, or you got to get somebody involved that really understands this stuff, and those are sort of the two options that you have these days. So.
And the last thing about it all is the job after you get the virus cleaning, that's just the beginning. It's reinstalling Windows or repairing Windows. I mean, usually Windows gets pretty hosed after trying to clean this up.
Yeah, so, Paul, you might be in for a little bit of a trip there. Make sure you back up anything important to you if you haven't already. And with that, we're going to take a quick time out here, pay a few bills, and we come back. More undiscovered websites, more your calls, your questions, 602-277-5827. It is the Computer Corner. Robert and Brandon back right after this. We'll be right back. We're talking about the undiscovered websites that are out there that are some of our favorites. You can join us online and see, click, link to whatever you want to call it. Some of those sites, datadoctors.com/radio. Also, while you're there, feel free to join us on Facebook where we'll answer your questions, we'll help you out, we'll, you know, whatever.
It's just the cool thing to do nowadays, Facebook.
Like Kay, who just jumped on the fan page and she wrote, "I have a new computer about a month old. It locks up out of nowhere. I cannot control it, delete. I have no choice but to hard shut down." I think she means powered off, right? And then wait for everything to be tested when I turn it back on. Some days this happens a lot. There's a new desktop, HP with Windows 7. What do you suggest? Okay. Well, if you got it just like a month ago, I'd be talking to the place you bought it from. I'd be talking to the folks that make it, you know, those guys over at HP, all that kind of stuff. Where's Kay at? Let's see. Kay. See, here's the cool thing, too, is you can one click, and we know where Kate lives. Not exact address, but we know she lives in Phoenix, right? Kay, first, shame on you. How much have you been listening to this show? We've told you for years, it's not what you buy, but who you buy it from, right? So you bought it from a big box store, maybe, or something like that, and if you try to go back to them, they're going to say, "Oh, well, it's not our computer. And we just sell them, and now you got to take it to this other place or call this number." And when you call the number, the guy that calls himself Sam, but you know his name isn't Sam, because he talks like this, that guy's going to talk to you for half an hour and give you some worthless advice, and you're going to call him back then a few weeks later and say, "None of that worked." And then they're going to walk you through putting in this disk that's going to put it all, wipe it all out, all the settings and all the pain that you've gone through to get it to where it's at. They're going to put it all back. And then if it still has the problem, then they're going to say, "Well, let's see what's actually wrong with this." And then they'll send somebody to you or send you somewhere or whatever the case is. But, okay, there's a better way.
You know what's funny? This HP sounds like there's like some sort of programs conflicting, causing a lockup or something. The funny thing is when you buy an HP, usually you get a bunch of junk you don't want running in the background to begin with.
Right.
So what I tell everyone is, look, if Windows 7 could run about 40 to 43 processes on a desktop, that's that little startup items. If you go to buy any HP and you pull up that startup process, it's always in the 60s and 70s on a brand new HP, Dell, you name it.
So, okay, for a couple of things. People bring us these machines all the time. Sometimes it's software things, sometimes it's hardware things. The first thing is I'd get somebody to help you or you yourself go into the control panel, go to the add remove programs section, and uninstall anything you don't need. Things that came on there, and you're going to be surprised at how big that list is. You're going to go, wow. Now, some people look at it as, wow, look at all the extra stuff I got on here, and they didn't even charge me extra. No, no, no. In fact, they got paid to put it there in a lot of cases because a lot of that stuff is trial stuff or things that are there to get you to buy something else down the road. So get rid of everything you don't need, number one. Number two, if this has been happening since the day you got it, then I'd be getting HP involved unless you don't want to deal with that frustration. Somebody's got to figure out ultimately, is this a hardware issue or a software issue? If it's just locking up all the way to where you can't do anything, you can try doing a couple things like pushing on the numlock key and seeing if you can toggle that on and toggle that off. If it doesn't even respond to that, then it's hard lock, meaning it's probably something hardware related.
Yeah.
It's going to be real tough. We'll also answer you online there because you may not be listening to this, but everybody else out there, maybe you can learn a little bit from the pain. Remember, it's not what you buy, but who you buy it from. Because even a month after the fact, if you have problems, you want to make sure you understand what that resolution process looks like. And that, I would say, you ought to spend more time thinking about than everything else about your computer purchase. What's going to happen when I have a problem?
HP points at Cox, Cox points at Microsoft, Microsoft points it back at HP's problem, and you go through the big loop.
And it's not just HP. Just think about that and ask wherever you're going to buy from. What happens when I have a problem? What happens, let's just say, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but what happens if like a month from now I'm having a problem? What do I do? What's that process look like? Do I bring it to you? Do I call somebody? Who do I call?
Well, first you got to find their 1-800 number. So
right.
You've got to go to that website.
Yeah, we've given you a list to the 800 numbers, and maybe that would help Kay in this situation get through a few people. Hard to find 800 numbers. It's one of the top 100 undiscovered websites we have listed at our site, datadoctors.com/radio.
I think HP's in there, too.
I'm sure HP's in there, 100%. Anyway, Back to the phones. We've got Mike, who's been hanging out there for, well, pretty much since the show began. Mike, welcome to the Computer Corner. Hi,
Okay, I know nothing about computers. I owned one, and all I got was horrible pictures of things that I didn't want to see or didn't even think existed in this world.
That's what the internet's all about, sir.
Not interested in it. I'm a book reader. Now, the important thing is I'm buying one for my granddaughter. That's her problem. I want to buy a cheap computer because it's her first, and I want the cheapest Wi-Fi service I can get. It's going to be a laptop.
Okay, well, let's step back for a second. You've got four questions you've already asked, and you don't even know it. So,
okay.
First, you say Wi-Fi service. Do you mean you want her to be able to use wireless networks, meaning like the wireless network you have at your house and at your office and
the
coffee shop?
Yeah, she doesn't have any of that stuff. Yeah, she wants to be able to use it at school and wherever she's at.
Okay, wherever she's at is different than Wi-Fi, right?
Okay, so, I have no idea. I know I got to pay something a month, and I want to go as cheap as I can on that, as long as it works in Cottonwood, Arizona.
Sounds like you're talking about getting like an air card service through like Verizon or AT&T so she can have internet while she's on the road.
The last
maybe?
Part he said, though, is Cottonwood, Arizona.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when you start getting, the more rural you get, two things are going to happen. One, you may not have data service, or the data service is going to be substantially slower than it would be, say, like in Phoenix, right?
I could care. I don't even know what slow means. So
okay.
I don't know, slow from fast. I don't expect her to be able to. I don't even know. It's just a starter thing.
You don't even care if it works.
So actually, just a little bit. I wish it would just work for like information she needs to go to school.
Right.
I don't care about all the other nonsense.
So really, I mean, you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
I'll go right ahead.
You're the guy that is spending the dollars, but she's the person that's going to use it. And really, what you ought to do is come up with whatever budget it is that you're willing to spend, and let her do the spending, because if I'm going to help her, I need to understand what she's going to use it for. Because you don't really understand what she's going to use it for. You only understand what you use it for.
I have no idea.
Right. So I could tell you the cheapest thing out there, but it probably isn't going to fit her needs. And so she'll get it, and she'll be replacing it in a few months.
I'm planning on doing that. I'm planning on replacing it soon.
Okay, so it's going to be the most expensive thing then. If you're going to replace it, you'd be better off just getting the right thing to begin with, right?
Okay.
So,
but I've gone through phones. I pay $70 a month for her phone.
Right. So I'm confused. Are you looking for a computer? Are you looking for a service? Or are you looking for both?
I'm looking for a computer and the cheapest way to get her hooked to the internet.
Gotcha. Okay. So the computer part, we'd have to understand a little bit more about what she wants to do. But what I can tell you is, if you go shopping for the cheapest thing, you're going to end up buying what's called a netbook. And it looks like a laptop, but it's about as much of a laptop as a smart car is a pickup truck.
Okay.
Right? It's the smart car of vehicles, and if she needs to fit more than two people in a car, it ain't going to do it for her. You know, understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
So you'll end up replacing that, because you'll get it thinking, oh, she just needs to get online, and as soon as she tries to write a paper, it won't have the horsepower to do it, and now you're going to throw it away and get something else. So I would look at, if it needs to be portable, I would look at something that's a real laptop and not a netbook.
Okay, I don't want a netbook then.
Right. Stay away from netbooks. Number one. Number two, for the service, if she needs to be able to use it absolutely anywhere, and I do mean anywhere, then you're going to...
She lives in a trailer in Cottonwood.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this easier. I'm going to put you on hold so that I can finish talking. So if she needs to be able to get on anywhere and you want it to be as inexpensive as possible, there's a way she can do it without a monthly fee, as long as it's not everywhere on the planet. And that is by using Wi-Fi. And a lot of places like Starbucks and McDonald's and where she goes to school and probably where she's at home will have Wi-Fi available. And so that's the least expensive way to get there. And also, by the way, the fastest least expensive way. So I hope that helps, Mike. If that doesn't, then the least expensive way is probably going to be to figure out whoever her cell phone provider is, or yours if you're paying for it, and talk to them, because they're going to bundle it with whatever you already have. And it's going to be less than starting from scratch. So I can't give you that specifics without knowing a lot more about what cell phone provider you use, those kinds of things. But also understand, she's in Cottonwood. Your choices are going to be pretty limited anyway. So I think I threw out some advice there.
I think that was good.
And where are we at time-wise? Well, we got some time. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of the undiscovered websites that are out there. There are, we got links at our site, datadoctors.com/radio. Top secret recipes, the world's healthiest foods. Gosh.
That actually looks good. When I clicked into the top secret recipe website, oh my God, some of the food in there looks really good. It looks like he's making some sort of special pizza too.
We've got two food and one adult beverage links in a row. Do you think this might have been written maybe in the late afternoon, early evening perhaps?
Probably.
Maybe. Cat lovers. I'm sure we've got some cat lovers listening. We got dog lovers too. We've got links for cat and dog lovers. Dog lovers need not click.
Oh, yeah, that's for the cat lovers.
Oh.
Dog lovers don't click.
You know, it would help if I had really thoroughly read and researched all these links before we talked about them on the air.
You know one that's pretty cool is oldversion.com. I just checked that one out, and it's all old version software. So if you're looking for something a little older than the new current stuff out there, for example, Picasa, Skype, Yahoo Messenger, on and on, that's where you can get some of that old software.
Why would I want the old school version of Picasa?
Some people still use dial-up.
Yeah.
So
you know, the other day, so Robert, your name's Robert, right?
I hope so.
Robert, for the past just over a month or so, was in Albuquerque, helping out at a location we have out there, and I happened to be coming back from I don't know where, but stopped through and spent a day or so, and there was a computer that somebody was buying, and part of what we do when somebody buys a computer, we transfer data, we load some programs for them, that kind of stuff, and they dropped off a whole stack of stuff they wanted loaded. And so I happened to be there, and this stack of software included a version of Office that came on 34 floppy disks.
That bring back the days, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there was a couple other things that were designed to run on Windows 95, Windows, and of course this machine was Windows 7.
No floppy drive.
Yeah, no floppy drive.
You can't get those anymore.
We can, but I think they cost more than a hard drive
now.
Yeah,
they're like $180 for a USB.
This guy dropped off a stack of stuff. We got most of the stuff rolling and working for him. He brought us like three different versions of some things. It was crazy. So I guess there is a need for old school software
old school
out there
software.
From time to time, and maybe that link. Anyway, maybe that'll come in handy. We've got that link, more, all kinds of cool stuff, just different sites that are maybe things you didn't know about, things that may come in handy from time to time. The top 100 undiscovered websites. You can find that online and join us at datadoctors.com/radio. A quick timeout here. When we come back, it's more of your calls, your questions. 602-277-5827 is the number. Give us a call. And welcome back. If you're looking for some websites that maybe are a little bit more obscure, things that are a little bit different, a little out of the ordinary, things that are useful at the same time, we've got a list of more than the top 100 undiscovered websites. We have PC Magazine's top 100, and then we have probably 30 or so of our own. You can also jump on and participate in the show, get involved in our poll. We're asking which antivirus program do you currently use? AVG, Avira, CA, Kaspersky, McAfee, you get the drill. Got all the choices there. And you can let us know all this, datadoctors.com/radio, where you'll find that, datadoctors.com/radio. Anyway, we can jump back on the phones because we've got just a few minutes before we're going to go to some news and things and kind of get you caught up. Up next is Dave here on the Computer Corner. Dave, welcome.
Hi. Let's see. Three things. If you've got a pad, I'll give them to you real quick. One is gethuman.com.
Get who?
Human, like human being. Get human. G-E-T. Gethuman.com.
Phone number, shortcuts, and customer service tips.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's similar to the site we had featured there where it gives you the numbers for things, but I get it. Get a human.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Number two is IE, like Internet Explorer, IEHV, Internet Explorer History Viewer, IEHV.
IEHV.com or something else?
Well, just Google it, and then you can find the history of your Internet browsing. And there's similar ones for Firefox and Google searches and other things. Excellent. It's free. It's an add-on.
So let me ask you a dumb question. I'm at the site now, but if I just clicked on history, couldn't I see my history?
Well, this one allows you to export and search and...
Ah, Okay.
Yeah, lots of useful. So it's well worth reading through the documentation on that page.
Gotcha.
Okay, and the last is page zipper, like your zipper on your clothes, page zipper. And for those extended, page one, page two, page three type websites, and you have to go next, 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 next. This is a way to grab pages one through X.
Okay. So it just saves you some time when you're trying to go through a site that has like those wizardy kind of things.
Yeah, so you know, like PCMag.com has page one of, two of, three of.
Oh, I got you. You're reading a news article, that kind of thing, and it because they want to make sure they maximize your ad viewing experience, you have to click through a bunch of pages.
Sure. And so to grab pages one through X, you go to page one, and then you install the page zipper ahead of time in your favorites, which is kind of a funny place. And then you go to the page zipper reference under favorites, under IE, and then you click on it. You might have to do it once or twice to get it to kick in. And then it downloads pages 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, those things that you click in your favorites or in your bookmarks, those are what's called bookmarklets. And so they execute a little bit of code called JavaScript that performs a function. And there's a bunch of things out there that work like that. One of my favorites is something that you can go to Facebook, and if you have this thing pre-installed as a bookmarklet, it'll check your privacy settings to show you areas of deficiency. And then with one or two clicks, it'll fix them for you rather than having to hunt through all the different endless maze of checkboxes and all that. So for people who are concerned about privacy, in fact, I'll find that and I'll load that up on the page because I'm sure there's people interested in that. So, hey, thanks for the tips there, Dave.
Yeah, can I put in a quickie plug for a PC users group?
For a PC users group? Well, we can. Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, it's phoenixpcug.org.
All right.
Yeah, we know Ken from way, way, way back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's done some things, I think, speaking engagements and things with you folks. So,
yeah, so great.
Thanks for the tips, Dave. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for the show.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
That wraps up the first hour, but we've got a full hour of show to go, and in the next hour, we've got, first thing straight away, our Geek Speak of the Week, and more of your calls, your questions, 602-277-5827, or join us online at datadoctors.com/radio, and please, don't go anywhere. You'll be sorry if you do.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
oh! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two here in the Computer Corner.
I can't believe it's already been hour two. Where'd time go? It's crazy.
Well, we had like five or six callers. We talked about some cool websites. I don't know. The time just kind of flew. But we have a full open bank of phone lines. So if you want to dial in, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. And we'll take your calls. We'll answer your questions. We'll hook you up with knowledge. We'll whatever. We'll try to help you out. Of course, you can join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. datadoctors.com/radio. There you'll see the link to this week's theme, links to resources, a link over to Facebook, our fan page, all kinds of stuff there. And you'll also see on the far right-hand side, about halfway down, a little something we call our Geek Speak of the Week.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
And what you hear in the background there, that's our official Geek Speak of the Week music, or at least it's become that for the last 3 weeks.
Nice. It's different.
Each week, we try to find something or make up something in the vernacular of geekdom. And then we come talk about it here so we can break down a little bit of that geekanese to English. So you can either sound smarter at a cocktail party or decode what the nerd in the next cubicle is saying or be able to talk back when those geeks try to talk down to you because they think they're so much smarter. This week's Geek Speak of the Week, what is it, Robert?
It is S-B-B-O-D.
S-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B SBBOD. What's SBBOD?
It's bragging rights for all you Windows users. It is Spinning Beach Ball of Death.
So on the Windows platform, we have the blue screen of death, or we have just that thing where in Windows Vista and Windows 7 now, the screen turns white and it's sort of just not responding and hanging out there. Well, guess what? The pristine world of the Apple, the Mac computer, the one that everybody says doesn't have problems, well, there is a problem that when you have it and the machine locks up, you'll get this spinning beach ball.
Which is split.
Or sometimes people call it the pinwheel. I've experienced it plenty of times. And I have a shiny new Mac that's super duper, never has any problems. Of course it does. It's a computer. We use it, you know. And you do the same thing you do when you're on a Windows machine. You shut it down, turn it back on, and life goes back to normal. And everything's cool, right? So the spinning beach ball of death, it's the equivalent of our good old blue screen of death in the Windows world.
It's about time.
It's a little prettier looking, maybe, but
they try to make it more pleasant.
Right.
Don't worry, your computer's crashed and it's not going to come back, but here's a little spinning color.
Here's a cool little beach ball, beach like ball. A rainbow pinwheel thing that will make you feel a lot better about life. And you can move your mouse around and it goes wherever your mouse goes. But you can't, like, do anything, right? You're done. Sometimes you can, like, click off of that application and the rest of the machine's still responding. Kind of like sometimes in Windows that happens, but yeah, the spinning beach ball of death. Aren't you... You glad you tuned in for that 2 minutes of your life that you'll never get back?
Split it.
See, a little musical reset never hurt anyone. So we're talking about the top 100 undiscovered websites this week. And we've got links, if you're interested, datadoctors.com/radio. Of course, if you want to give us some things that you think are ultra cool or ultra obscure or just... You know, whatever. Give us a call, 602-277-5827. So we've talked a little bit about some of the food things and some of the adult beverage things and hard-to-find 800 numbers, right? We've got links to all those things. But what about some of the stuff you said for like you're kind of a car geek, and so you found sites that let you geek out on the car tip, on the gamer tip. If you're a travel kind of person, whether it's for business or for pleasure, a couple of things that... You may or may not know of a quick way to research hotel rooms, flights, rental cars, whatever it is that involves travel. A website called Kayak, KAYAK.com. And then they have different tabs depending on if you want to do hotels, whatever. You tell, like, for a flight, you tell from where to where, and it goes and checks a bunch of other sites. So it's a little bit like an Expedia or one of those guys, or Travelocity might be, but the catch is that you're not going to actually purchase from them. So they check, when you look through Kayak, it'll check the airlines directly. So it'll check, you know, American and United and Delta and so on. But it'll also check all the travel sites like Travelocity and Orbitz and these things. And it'll find the best prices from point A to point B. And it'll display them. And then you can put some little sliders and say, okay, but I only want to leave between this and this hour. And I want to arrive between that and that hour. And I'll take some nearby airports. And you know what? I'm a little bit flexible on when I leave. I could do it within a day or so. And so it'll help you whittle down very quickly. And then when you go to book, the beauty is if it'll say, well, we found three sites that all have that flight for $120. And so you click on the details and you can even see details about what aircraft it'll be and all kinds of things. But then it'll link you directly to the airline site or Orbitz or whatever. And you can finish your purchase there. So you don't actually make the purchase through them. They derive their revenue through a little bit of advertising, kind of like Google does on the side. And it's a really cool way to find low-cost ways to get places. Or sometimes, you know, you want to go from here to, let's say, to Boston. You'll find out, oh, there's two other airports that service sort of the Boston area. You could go to Providence, Rhode Island, or you could go to Manchester, right? So it'll show you some alternatives that you never would have thought about by trying to book direct. And it's not a bad idea. Sometimes you save a few bucks.
Pretty, pretty cool.
Another cool thing, especially if you're going to be on a longer flight or if you want to try to get some work done on a flight, then you're probably going to be interested in having like some power jacks, making sure there's Wi-Fi available, those kinds of things. And on some airlines and some seats, they have some of those things available to you, but not all seats, not all airlines. And so there's a site called Seat Guru, SeatGuru.com, that lets you tell it what airline you're going to be flying. And you can then, before you pick the seat, you know, you can usually select a seat. You can look at all the seats that are available. It'll tell you where the best seats are and where power plugs are and which seats have problems, and it'll tell you why. Like, for example, the seat in this row doesn't recline, or this one's up against the lavatory, and so you're going to hear flushes the whole flight, or this one doesn't have any kind of storage, so you're going to be stuck with everything in the overhead, or you know, whatever the case is. So there's all kinds of cool things where you can figure out where you might get a little bit more leg room, where you might get power ports, where you might be sitting in a spot where you're going to just hear all flushes, whatever it is. It's kind of a cool thing. Seat Guru. So a couple of things that I look at from time to time when I'm out in the world doing the travel thing. So good stuff?
Good stuff.
What happened to all those phones? I was just saying that we had a full bank of phone lines open, and then you guys called and filled up every single one of them. Tell you what we're going to do. A quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to bust through those calls, and it might take us a few segments to do it, but Alex, Ed, Carrie, Gary, Eric, and if anybody else is hanging out there, we're going to get to your calls, your questions, right here on the Computer Corps when we come back. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Just in case you missed any part of the show, we've been talking about the top 100 undiscovered. Actually, it's more than 100, but we just say 100 because it sounds cooler. The top 100 undiscovered websites. We've got links, references, things to click on, shiny buttons, whatever. All that stuff, datadoctors.com/radio. And that's where you'll get hooked up. And we'll talk about some of the other things, but we did promise before we went to break that when we came back, we'd jump right to calls. And so right to calls, we must jump. Up next, it's Gary on the Computer Corner. Gary, welcome.
Hi. I've got an old Mac, iMac OS X. It's running, and I can't download video clips or anything like that. It always has a thing that says you need to plug in a Flash player, and Flash player doesn't work on it.
Huh. Yeah, I can't. So wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this, because this is going to be a first. You have a Mac.
Yeah.
And it has a problem.
Yeah.
As I've been told by countless people that the reason that they're switching to a Mac. Yeah, the reason that people want to switch to a Mac because they never have problems. Yet,
yet
here's Gary, mm-hmm. and you're not the first caller of this show that has a Mac, has a problem.
There you go.
Huh. Okay. So, no videos. Yeah. When you try to play them, it tells you need a Flash player. You try to go install Flash, and no.
No, well, I mean, it still won't play the movie if you install the Flash. I installed a, you know, a couple different types of Flash players.
What web browser are you using on that machine, Gary? Is it just the Safari that came with it?
Two browsers. So I've got one with,
Let's see if we can make this easier. If you don't have Firefox, go get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you don't have Firefox, the Safari, unless you have the latest version.
I've got Safari and the regular, the one you run with Windows 2.
Oh, so here's what your issue is.
I've got two different browsers.
Yeah, if you've got two, but the one you run with Windows, meaning Internet Explorer, so they stopped
I got Explorer 5.
Yeah, so they stopped making Internet Explorer for Mac, I think, 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which means you probably have an old version of Safari and an old version of, well, you couldn't have a new version of Internet Explorer.
No, it's all old stuff in here.
So either upgrade to the latest version of Safari or go get yourself Firefox. Yeah, after you get that, then try to go back to view it. It's going to tell you need the Flash plugin, which will now work.
It will work. Yeah,
yes,
there'll be Flash then.
Yes, sir. But you're going to have to get a browser that was made in this century.
Yeah, okay.
So step at a time. Browser made in this century, then Flash Player, and now you'll be able to see videos.
Cool. So should I just erase my Explorer, get it out of there, and just take it out?
At some point, unless you like cool antique stuff. But I think... Gosh, okay. It's been at least 7 and maybe closer to 10 years. I mean, they just don't make Internet Explorer for Mac anymore.
All right.
You can get Safari is fine, Firefox is fine, Chrome is fine, but Internet Explorer is not fine, sir. Not for that operating system.
Thank you for your help.
You betcha, sir. Good luck with that.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
See, there is a place for old software. It's not like, hey, I don't want to upgrade. It's more or less, I want to retrofit. You know, it's
retro.
Like restoring a 1967 Mustang. It's the same thing. You just want to go retro.
Look at that. We hung up with Gary, and the phone's already ringing. You guys, first hour, where were you? And here you are going nuts now. Carrie, which rhymes with Gary, funny enough. Carrie is up next here on the Computer Corner. Carrie, before we get to your question, do you have any cool, like, website that we might not have discovered that you think we should?
No, I don't.
All right, then you just ruined my whole build up there, but go ahead with your question.
Sorry.
It's okay.
My computer crashed, and so I have to buy a new computer really, really quickly.
Whoa. A and B don't go together necessarily.
Okay.
Your computer crashing and getting a new one don't have to go together unless computer crashing is super old computer, doesn't make any sense to put money into.
It was old. It was about an 8-year-old Dell.
Okay, so it probably makes sense to think about going the other direction, but keep in mind, when you buy a new computer to solve a problem, you don't solve the problem, you change the problem. Because when you get your new computer, I'm assuming you're going to want some of the stuff off your old Dell, which is going to take either time or money, right? And
Yep. You're
going to have to go through and set up all the settings and get it working the way you want it. And so sometimes people go to solve the problem of their computer, quote-unquote, crashing, and they do it by buying a new machine because it's only, quote-unquote, a few bucks more, and by the time it's all said and done, you're going to probably spend about 2.5 to 3 times the price. So as long as you're okay with that ride and it makes sense for you, great. Are we still talking the same language, Gary?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so you have a question beyond that now.
Okay, beyond that, I have narrowed it down to 3 computers which are pretty much configured the same.
Okay.
One's a Dell, one's a Toshiba, and one's an HP.
Okay, so you're looking for our advice on which way to go, and tell you what we're going to do, and I hate to do this to you. I'm going to put you back on hold because we're running up against a break. When we come back, we're going to answer Carrie's burning question of, what do I buy? And give her some ideas and maybe give you some ideas if you're in that same situation. So Carrie, you sit tight. The rest of you sit tight. We're going to take a quick time out here, get you caught up, pay a few bills. And when we come back, Carrie's question and more, your 602-277-5827, or join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Computer Corner, a full half hour of show left. Again, if you missed any part of the show and you want to get yourself caught up on undiscovered websites or go way back, months, years, or you might even be up to a decade worth of shows are archived for your perusal, you can find it all, including the audio archives, at datadoctors.com/radio. Before we went to break, we were talking with Carrie, who's back with us, and she's out ready to make a computer purchase because her old machine crashed, and she's got it between, let me make sure I got this right, an HP, a Dell, or a Toshiba. Is that right, Carrie?
Correct.
Okay, so before we talk about the brand, did somebody spend a little bit of time helping you understand, based on your needs, what would be important to have from a features standpoint, or are you just looking based off of a cool flyer you saw and now you're trying to compare based on price?
No, I think I'm pretty savvy as to what I need, and all the ones I looked at seem to be able to meet all my needs for myself and for my business.
Okay, and so you're now stuck between these three brands, and so the part of what we talked about a little bit earlier on in the show, and somebody asked on our Facebook fan page, I have a new computer about a month old. It looks like it's got some kind of problem because it keeps locking up to the point where I have to power it down and power it on, And so here she is, got a brand new machine, it's less than a month old, and she's having these problems and frustrations, and she's asking, where does she get help? And So my suggestion to you, Carrie, is that you think about that now before you make the purchase, because we've told people for years, it's not what you buy, but who you buy it from that's most important when it comes to technology purchases.
Okay.
And so in her case, she has an HP, and she's asking us what she can do to fix it. Now, I'm guessing that she either doesn't know that she can ask HP, or she's tried and gotten frustrated with the process. And so for all three of the brands that you mentioned, you either buy them direct, like through their websites, or you buy them through big box stores. But when you have a problem, you don't go back to the place where you purchased it, right? Instead, for all three of those cases, you call a toll-free number somewhere, and somebody troubleshoots with you over the phone, right?
Correct.
And so if that works for you for a support mechanism, so when you have a problem, if that process is okay with you, and that's what I would look at. And if it's not okay with you, then you got to figure out what would be better. People who buy computers from us, for example, one of the reasons they do is that if they have a problem, the same place they bought it is the same place that takes care of the problem. And so they can go and talk to a person face to face. They can show them what's happening, and they can make it our problem rather than it trying to be their problem, which tech support these days is. They make it your problem, right? They walk you through over the phone, but you're doing all the fixing and the pressing of the buttons and the waiting while they just sort of direct you. So it sort of depends on that part of the experience. If all things are equal, though, and you're one of those three is what you're going to purchase, then I might just do a little bit of homework on who these days has better support and do it not based on what they say, but you can do your own quick informal research by just if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, ask a couple of your friends. I'm thinking about buying one of these three. Anybody have any good or bad experiences with any of these three companies? And I bet you're going to get people in a few minutes. They're going to give you their horror stories or their really good praise stories, or maybe even give you some new ideas.
That'd be great if I had a computer to do it on.
You don't have a computer like at work or a friend?
No,
or
this is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I have to replace it immediately.
I gotcha.
I would definitely say, I don't know, I'm really passionate about some of the things that we sell. I'd say go into one of our stores, use our internet, talk to one of our guys, and kind of go from there. You know,
do you have a store near Mesa?
Of course, we got three of them out in Mesa. We got 22 stores here in the Phoenix area. I mean, you could certainly do that. I think it's worth spending the time, whether it's with us or in somebody, do a little bit of research, understand what's going to happen when you have a problem. And even though you're in a dire situation where you need it now, a few extra minutes or hours spent now understanding what you're getting yourself into is going to save you countless hours. Like Kay, who's now frustrated. She has a month old computer and is frustrated that the thing keeps locking up and she doesn't know what to do. I'd hate for that to be you.
The thing I would challenge you to is I'd say take your printups, the three printups you said you had of the specs, take them to the store, the closest store that you're going to head to, and ask them, hey, this is what I use. This is what I thought would be a perfect fit for me. What do you think? You know, we have internet computers up front that you're more than welcome to use, and if you have to do a little bit of research on them, great. And we can also print you up something we could build and, you know, discuss it for 10, 15 minutes.
Our guys will do that for nothing for you. So if you want to take us up on that offer, if you're in Mesa, Greenfield and McKellips or Baseline and Chrisman.
And what's the name of the store?
Data Doctors.
Data Doctors. Okay. Greenfield and McKellips. Sounds perfect. What time are your hours?
Today till 5 and Monday through Friday, 10 to 6.
Great. Okay, I think that's way I'll go.
They'll at least get you pointed in a good direction, and you can use their computer, if nothing else, to do a little bit of that research we talked about.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's always nice just to be able to talk with someone right up front, discuss what you're using, discuss what you thought about getting. And, you know, if it's one of those three computers she ends up buying, at least she was able to discuss it. And if not, you know.
We're happy to help people make whatever decision's good for them regardless,
yep.
So. Yeah, you know, we take what we do there, we bring it to the show, and vice versa. So feel free to use us in our stores during the week and stuff. That's fine. We don't mind.
It's like I said off the air. No matter what she buys from, it's probably the same call center taking care of her. So whether it's a Toshiba, Dell, or HP, it doesn't really matter.
Right. You're gonna get the same support process most likely. And to be honest, these days, most of the manufacturers have figured out that cutting corners in the parts, although with some exception that still happens, that they're not well served doing that because they end up spending a bunch of time replacing parts. And so generally speaking, it's decent parts in a lot of these things. And you know, it's usually not the best stuff. It's just decent stuff. You see very few of the sort of cutting corners, although in the low, low end stuff, of course, it still happens.
Yeah.
You do see a lot more where instead of cutting corners, on the hardware side of things. They put decent stuff in, but instead they're loading it up with a bunch of trial software and gimmicky stuff that really takes away from the performance. So it's like the equivalent of buying a new big SUV because you have a family of six, but three of the seats already come with people in them.
Everyone wonders why Macs are so much more expensive. Well, they don't load all that junk on there to begin with. I mean, you get a pretty refined system when you buy a Mac.
Right.
You know, with Windows.
Well, they use high quality. I mean, you look at the cases. They're usually metal. Yeah. They use heavy-duty stuff. They only use the best brands of hardware inside. They don't try to cut corners. They don't do plastic. They don't do cheap. Their idea is if you want a great experience, they have that, but there aren't a lot of choices. You know, there at any given time, there's no more than five or six different models usually of desktops, and the same with laptops. Okay. And they come a couple of different ways, and if you don't like them, that's it. You know, think of the iPhone. It comes in two colors and a couple of different sizes as far as memory. That's it. They don't have choices. But they make sure that those couple of things that they offer are really solid products. You can get that same thing out of a Windows computer. You've just got to understand a little bit more about the process.
Yep. Again, if you pay equivalent, you're going to get yourself a heck of a Windows system. Oh, well, not even have to pay equivalent, but close to. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've got Alex that's hanging out there. It's been there for almost a half an hour. Alex, thanks for being so patient with us. You still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Great. Before we jump to your question about a graphics card, any kind of websites, things that you think are kind of cool things that maybe people don't know about?
It's been around for a while, but I really like HastaLaVista.com.
Ooh, so I'll warn people, if you go to Hasta La Vista, there's a couple of other characters behind that. A lot of the reason that we see computers in our shops all over the country is because people tried to download a quote-unquote free version of Office or whatever the case is and then got themselves infected. You'd be better off buying Office and save yourself some money.
Well, I go there just mainly for the articles and the blog sections. I don't download very much from those sites. I like reading the articles and stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. That network of sites in particular is big with people who download or steal software, games, music.
Yeah, I don't do that. I'd rather just buy it from the store or whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. So, what can we help you with your graphics card issue?
I recently bought a 1300 or an Asus 1300, and it had a graphics card in it. It was the NVIDIA 2200 and or 210, sorry. And third day it fried. And
what fried? The video card or
the video card? And it was a refurbished computer. Huh. So yeah, and the power supply is a 220 watt. But it says on the website recommended for that graphics card is 300 watt.
Yeah, and I would probably go a little higher, but yeah. So we always talk about refurbished computers as being pre-broken. So if...
Or double tested.
So there's two things that kill electronics. Well, there's more than two, but the two big ones that physically kill electronics. Things being over or underpowered and things overheating.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your case... I'm not 100% familiar with exactly that model, but is it one of the smaller sort of enclosure computers?
Yeah, it's a slimline computer, and I really needed the slimline computer because I'm taking it with me overseas.
Right. One of the problems with slimline computers we see is, A, the power supplies are too small, and you're experiencing some of that, and B, in order to make them slim, they've got to compact things in there, and they're not a whole lot bigger than a laptop computer, but the components are a whole lot different, and they get way too hot. And so the two biggest things I just mentioned are both present in what you purchased, which means you have to be real careful about how you use and what you use. And then here's the catch on this, is the power supplies for those slimline computers are usually three or four times the cost of regular power supplies because they have to miniaturize all the components to fit them in there. And so I don't know if you can even find the power supply that you would actually need for this thing.
I have a question. Do you have onboard video as well that's been capped off?
It's been capped off.
So you can uncap that and you'll expose the actual adapter, the VGA adapter. You could pull the card out and just run the onboard, but of course you're going to lose some performance doing that, but you'll have an operating computer. It should operate.
And your machine's going to run cooler and you're not going to need a bigger power supply. I mean, it's going to solve some of your problems most likely, so you might want to think about that. You take the add-on card out, uncap that thing on the outside and plug directly in.
Yeah, the other problem is the main reason why is because I'm a big gamer, so I like to play Fallout 3.
You've got the wrong equipment for that, my friend.
Yeah. I'm a big passionate guy with computers, and when you get into slim lines and high performance, it's like a bad combination.
Yeah, but I just really needed it for size because I wanted to be able to put it in my carry-on or in my suitcase.
Gotcha.
I took it overseas with me because I'm leaving in like 2 weeks.
You'd be far better off, if it's not too late to do it, to get a more performance-based laptop computer.
Yep.
The components are built to be in a compact area, and so they don't have the overheat problems. You're going to find it's going to cost you a little bit more, obviously, but you're going to get a lot more performance that's going to last versus what you got. That you're going to have constant problems with this thing if you're going to try to tweak it.
You know, the laptops too, high performance laptops, you can hook up to big displays. You know, and some of these laptops have independent graphic cards that are equivalent to 250 series NVIDIAs. I mean, higher than what you have in that little mini desktop.
Yeah, my wife put me on a budget of $350. That's why I ended up getting this one.
So ouch, this refurbished, does it have a warranty, do you know, still? I mean, usually they do?
It had a three-day warranty, and it fried on the fourth day.
Three-day warranty.
They planned that one, fried on the fourth
day.
That's
crazy. So so the solution is get a bigger power supply, which is, if you can find it, going to be expensive, and get a new video card. And you're probably going to have this problem, I hate to say it, based on what you're trying to do with the machine, you're going to have this problem repeated. It's going to happen over and over.
I can't remember what else I was going to say.
It looks like you're going to drop Fallout 3 for a moment, and you're going to have to just get that computer operating by killing the graphics card for the meantime, and figure out a solution down the road as far as what you're going
to
do.
And figure out how to get more cooling inside of this thing. You're probably going to have to leave the cover off of it, and get an extra fan or two on that thing. I mean, you're trying to do something the machine's not made to do, and it's going to have problems.
Yeah, the reason why I think it fried is because they have wires running around the back of the graphics card, and the graphics card's about a half an inch from the wall of the bottom of the computer.
Yep.
And I think the wires hit the fan, and it stopped the fan on the graphics card. And that's why I think it fried. So,
it sounds like that card wasn't supposed to go in that unit. Being that it was refurbished, they threw parts in there. So...
Hey, Alex, thanks for the call. We got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we're going to do a little wrap-up and talk a little bit more about some of the cool websites that are out there that you need to discover. Stick around. Thanks for joining us here on the Computer Corner. In case you missed any part of the show, Robert, tell them where they can catch up with everything we talked about.
They can hit up datadoctors.com/radio. And go back in time.
You can go way back like a DeLorean.
Like the flux capacitor.
88 miles an hour.
I don't think...
1.21 gigawatts.
Can the DeLorean really go that fast? I don't think it can.
Downhill, bro, with the wind. Come on.
A little push. Some horses attached to it.
I bet you could tweak it out with some of your crazy stuff you do to cars to make it go at least that.
Yeah, we'll probably have to turbo, rebuild the motor, put a better fuel system on it, maybe hit some NOS.
Whatever, man. Whatever you just said, yes, we'll do all that to it. Anyway, you can go back in time, listen to past shows, see past topics, click on past links, whatever it is you want to do in the past, do it in the past or do it in the present. We don't care. datadoctors.com/radio. So a quick wrap up. The top 100 undiscovered websites, which turns out to be a link to PC Magazine's top 100 websites, and then about 30, 40 of our favorite sites. Here's a cool one. It would probably be good for me because I tend to do this. It's a website that helps you invent new words at verbotomy. I don't even know what that word is. Verbotomy? How do we pronounce that, Pete?
Verbotomy? I think that's a fail on their part.
It's missing a syllable.
I think they failed.
Verbotomy.
For Tommy.
Yeah, Pete doesn't even know. He's looking at me the same way I'm looking at it. Okay, I don't know what that is. Let's see. The Bargainist.
The Bargainist.
Yes, it's like the Consumerist. It's a place where you can find more gooder deals.
Ooh, I like gooder deals.
Yeah, so there's also, a lot of people don't know about this. Google has a lot more than just the place where you search for generic stuff. You can go to Frugal, or more commonly known today as a Google product search, but Frugal, spell it just like Google, but with an F at the front instead of a G. And you type in a specific model number of a camera you're looking at, or a computer, or whatever it is you're looking for. And it'll go out and hunt the world and show you the lowest prices. And it does a couple of other things, too. It'll not just look at the lowest price for the thing, but the lowest price landed, meaning including shipping, tax, all that kind of stuff. So it's a quick way to kind of get a general idea of what you ought to pay for something or what's a good deal. And a lot of people do use that before they go shop in a real store, because some people like to still do the real store shopping kind of thing because they want it now. So that's kind of a cool thing. A free DLL download library. You get some kind of weird error saying you're missing a DLL. Here might be an alternative. I'd recommend you try to find the original program disks and reinstall whatever's messed up. But if that fails, here's another way you can go. There's all kinds of stuff there.
Having a legitimate DLL website is pretty cool. I mean, DLL is like a way you can get infected by Google searching. I mean, Google searching .dll, you're asking for an infection, you know?
Right. So we have a link to a site where you can get legit stuff. Stuff that's not infected, because just out there hunting, DLLs are basically programs. Not good. So you don't want to just go find those anywhere. Anyway, again, if you missed any part of the show, all the links, all the info, all the goods, anytime online at datadoctors.com/radio. Mr. Pete, thank you for making us sound halfway decent. Robert, thanks for hanging out for the last couple hours with me, and to everybody listening for joining us here. Until next time, remember, not only if you don't need it, don't install it, but see us next week. Thanks.